Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, also Bill Jack from Worldview Academy on this edition.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Bill. Talking about what's going on in the world around us.
Oh, you know, it should be more refreshing to talk about what is ahead of us in the other world, because there is hope and joy and peace.
Yep.
There's no grief. There's no pain. There are no tears. But here, the world is full of sorrow, and the world is full of woe. And we're here to proclaim that there is hope for those who are suffering from those.
That's right.
Through the person of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And hope here, too, because we can be saved from this present evil age.
Yes.
As Paul said. And saved to everlasting life and everlasting joy. And yet we're in the battle. So let's remember, we're still in the battle. The church militant.
Yep.
For now,
and I've often
church triumphant.
We've both heard, you know, that Christians are so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good.
Yeah, no, you've heard that too.
And
we don't want to go there.
I counter
That's
that
a ditch.
With, because we are so heavenly minded, we ought to be of the most earthly
good. Most earthly good. I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Yeah. Well said. Move ahead with hope and we fight the good fight of faith. We cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. And I want to get to the Supreme Court of the United States, because I think right now, Bill, they are discussing a case that will live unto infamy or live for a long, long time. I think this is the battle of battles. This is more important than Dobbs. This is more important than Roe v. Wade, only because you're dealing with the mass production of abortion by way of chemical pills. That's why this one's so critical. And of course, We dealt with the evidence last week that abortion rates are way up only because of the abortion pill, the accessibility, the technology enabled by modern systems have mass-produced abortions, and Dobbs did not slow it down. So Dobbs was a little too late. The technology of the IUD, the kill pills, have now taken over the abortion industry. What was it, 67% of abortions are the kill pill, and that may be a minimal number at this point, given that there's not adequate records. But abortion is exploding across the country right now, at least 13 to 15 million abortions each year, or at least babies killed by abortifacients, the IUD, the kill pill, the day after pill, etc. But here, this abortion kill pill case says before the Supreme Court of the United States, very important, very important. At issue is this. Okay, the Supreme Court is hearing the case right now. At issue is this. In December of 2021, the Biden administration's U.S. Food and Drug Administration, that's the FDA, eliminated the requirements that abortion pills be dispensed in person, allowing pharmacies to instead send them through the mail as long as the recipient has a prescription. So that's the issue. And as we covered on our news story, I'm not sure that any conservative Christian organization published this on their news stories, but we did. And that is, over the last 8 years, as the FDA has removed safety standards, that's enabled mail order abortions now available through telehealth in all 50 states. These chemical abortions make up 63% of all abortions, and telehealth accounts for 16% of all abortions at this point, at least according to the records we have collected thus far. Also, according to reports assembled by MotherJones.com, get this, Bill, 90% of these telehealth abortions occur in states where abortions are banned. Wow. So the idea that, hey, we've made it, Alabama, state of Texas, we're ahead of the game, Not even close. That they reversed Dobbs at the very same time that the Supreme Court of the United States, they understood, they knew that abortions would be made available by telehealth across the nation in all 50 states. 90% of telehealth abortions occur in states where abortions are banned or severely restricted. This amounts to at least 200,000 extra abortions for the top three providers, and Colorado abortion providers are reporting at least 6,000 out-of-state abortions per year by telehealth, but I would guess the numbers are closer to 200,000 per year, which means the whole idea that we're seeing a decrease in the number of abortions in the country is bogusness, only because of this issue. That's why this debate that's happening at the Supreme Court of the United States is probably the most important case since Roe v. Wade. The arguments concerning the effect of the pill on women is the main issue. but they won't argue on the fact that the pill kills the baby. So that's the case that's brought by Alliance Defending Freedom and these pro-life doctors. It secured a suspension of the policy from the U.S. District Court judge, but that itself was paused by the Supreme Court in the United States. The Supreme Court in the United States said immediately, no, no, we got to be killing these kids with these abortion pills. Keep telehealth going. That was its last ruling. It's probably going the same direction. And the argument, according to the pro-lifers, is, hey, you know what? We just need to be sure that this pill isn't doing harm to the mother. That's the main thing. So let's not be dispensing it through telehealth. But of course, this is surrendering the principle. Typical for pro-lifers, they surrender principle for the sake of their argument. And for that reason, Bill, they're going to lose.
Yeah.
They're going to lose. I haven't seen this over and over again. They're going to lose. You surrender principle, you can kiss your case goodbye. That's my take on this.
As an elected official, I will carry any bill that will limit abortion with the goal of eliminating abortion. But you cannot play games with principle. You can arm wrestle strategies. Show me a better strategy, and I'll use it. We didn't get here overnight. We are not at the point of allowing the killing of babies up until the moment the mother dilates overnight. This happened over years and years and years. And so anything to walk this back, yes, with the goal of eliminating abortion. But if you compromise on principle, then you will lose. For example, this idea that, oh, we're not going to back this bill because it will criminalize the mother, and we don't want to criminalize the mother. Wait a minute. If she's killing a baby, she's killing a human being. We've got to think through these issues. If you're going to ban abortion, then yes, you will criminalize the woman who is seeking to kill her baby. And let's not play games with this. Pro-life organizations have compromised in many ways. We need to hold fast to the truth of what we are proclaiming, and that is that the baby is a human being from conception.
And the issue, of course, at this point, Bill, is that we thought the Supreme Court of the United States was reverting the decision on whether you could kill a kid to the respective states. But it turns out with telehealth abortions, they can, you know, get the interstate commerce going and allow for the abortion pill to extend itself over state borders. And that's the issue the Supreme Court of the United States needs to address. And they won't do it. They're not doing it.
And how did that work out for us prior to the Civil War when the Supreme Court refused, like in the Dred Scott decision, to declare what we all know, and that is that blacks are human beings, that they are no less human than any other colored skin out there. And as a result, we had some states that were free and some states that were slaveholding states. How did that work out for us?
Not very well. We're headed towards civil war ourselves.
We are headed to a civil war. The Supreme Court certainly has the right and the duty and the responsibility to take this issue and decide this issue in favor of life.
Life and the states.
Yes.
Life and the states. They should vote in favor or decide in favor of life, and they should decide in favor of the states.
Because we are
blocking abortions crossing the borders.
States. We are a united states. We are not individual countries, and that's what we have descended into. Our country has descended into tribalism, and now we're seeing the states descend into declaring themselves to be individual countries autonomous from our Constitution, guaranteeing life, liberty, property rights, and your right to defend them.
What is probably the most important case since Roe v. Wade, perhaps even more important than Roe v. Wade, is being argued right now. AP News, as of this morning, U.S. Supreme Court justices on Tuesday did not appear ready to limit access to the abortion pill in a case that could have far-reaching implications for millions of American women, scores of drugs regulated by the FDA. The woman arguing in favor of this said, hey, we've got to do this. She repeatedly was interrupted by Justice Neil Gorsuch, who voiced objections to any sweeping injunctions. Chief Justice John Roberts also seemed skeptical that a ruling reversing the FDA's scientific judgments was necessary. The United States is officially pro-abortion, my friends, as a nation. officially pro-abortion. LifeSite News also made our point very well in this morning's release. Easy access to an interstate distribution of abortion pills is one of the abortion lobby's most potent tools for perpetuating abortion on demand post-Roe v. Wade, which they are aggressively pursuing regardless of the risks to the women they are supposedly serving. Well, that's where we are right now. We're losing the case, and we're looking at tens of millions more abortions coming up. Be back with more in just a moment on Generations. We've seen it, folks. God is working in the hearts of dads and sons, and he's turning the hearts of fathers back to the sons and the hearts of sons back to the fathers and turning us all back to God. That's what we're looking for, and that's the theme of the Father-Son Retreat we've been sponsoring out here in the mountains of Colorado for the last 20 years, and I've been part of this for all this time. Now, God has done amazing things through the years. Well, I've seen it. 350 dads and sons getting into God's Word together. Nothing like it. Camaraderie, brothers on brothers, it's a band of brothers coming together, powerful talks, prayer, father-son walks and talks, meaningful engagement. It's almost going without saying that dads and sons don't get enough time together. And hey, we don't get enough time out in God's nature playing games and going for hikes in God's fresh air. And we don't get quite enough time in God's Word either. So don't miss this year's Father-Son Retreats this August in the Colorado Rockies up in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. Check it out at coloradofatherson.com and register today and be one of the first 125 people to sign up and save $100 per father and son. Secure your spot with the biggest discount available right now at coloradofatherson.com. Back on Generations, Kevin Swanson with you, Bill Jack as well. Bill, I just don't think there's any solution, any putting these demons back into the bottle, unless the church steps up and does something. I don't think the Supreme Court of the United States has the guts, the courage, the principle to stand down the massive increase in abortions that has occurred in this nation and is continuing to increase everywhere around this country today. Christians need to come out against the IUD, the IVF thing down in Alabama, where a high percentage of babies conceived in these test tubes are killed, the kill pill by mail program. But it's got to start with the pastors, Bill. It's got to be the Southern Baptists. It's got to be Albert Mohler. It's got to be Alistair Begg and David Platt and Matt Chandler and Jack Graham and Ed Young and the PCA and Calvary Chapel. If these guys don't stand up, if they don't say, we're taking a principled position on the IUD and the IVF issue, and we're taking a principled position on protecting human life based upon the requirement of Lex Talionis that we're not going to provide systems for women that will increase the odds of their children dying in the womb. We're not allowing for that. We're taking a position against it. Now, I understand why politicians are waffling. I understand why they have a hard time standing on principle, but it seems to me that pastors should stand on principle. But if pastors won't, and pastors act like the politicians, we're all done for. This right. whole thing's done for.
Right. And you and I know that everybody has turf that they want to try to protect.
Yeah.
And with pastors, the temptation to compromise is the idea that, well, if I speak on this issue, I know that there's at least 20 to 30% of the women in my congregation who have had abortions. And I will offend them, and it will cost me membership. It will cost the money in the plate, and so it's better not to address this. I don't want to add pain. Here's the rationale: I don't want to add pain to their already what they're suffering because they've had an abortion. Well, the only way to deal with such guilt is to call people to come to the cross and lay that guilt at the feet of Jesus.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then you are free. And then when the guilt feelings come, you can dismiss those guilt feelings
right, sure.
because you have been set free.
Right.
The enemy uses guilt feelings and to try to condemn us when we've dealt with the guilt. The secular culture says you're not guilty. You just need to get rid of guilt feelings, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so everything is upside down, and we've allowed the culture to creep into the church and dictate how we proclaim the gospel. We have neutered the gospel of Jesus Christ by making it a merely privatized religious feeling. Your religion should affect, inform your economics, your entertainment, your view of life, liberty, property, your right to defend property. It should inform everything.
At the cross of Jesus Christ, we're set free from guilt, but Bill, we're also set free at the same time from the impulse to go out and kill more kids.
Yes.
Because we are serving self.
Yes.
Because we are serving Satan. Because we worship self, we do everything self wants us to do, which means kill more kids. But we're set free from those things. Mm-hmm. Jesus sets us free from the bondage of sin.
Yep.
All right. Well, friends, the American church has surrendered the principle. Hey, CT, Christianity Today, has a pretty recent article on this. Listen to this. This is the most accurate numbers that I can find anywhere. CT did this recently. Listen. Women who attend church in America average a birth rate of 1.85, down from 2.25 in 2006. Liberal Protestants are running at 1.5, and conservative Protestants are at 1.8. That's just a hair above the national average of 1.7, meaning they're using just as many abortifacients, IUDs, etc. I don't know what their abortion rate is. But on high-efficiency conception control devices, they're using just as many IUDs, they're using just as many abortifacients as the rest of the population. And by the way, Jews, Catholics, and Pentecostals are slightly higher birth rates, but the evangelicals are shameful, are really shameful in this area. The American church has surrendered the principle. Just as many evangelical women use high-efficiency abortifacient conception control rates, they've got a birth rate that is pretty much equal to the rest of the country. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Do they really live out a different worldview than the rest of the world? Are they representing anything of a more of a love for children, or are they killing just as many kids? That's my question. Evidently, Bill, with the birth rate as low as it is, they probably are killing just about as many kids as their counterparts in the public today. CT says this. This is a quote. Data from the 2014 Pew Religious Life Survey suggests that net conversions in and out of American religion lead to about 16% loss in religious peoples over the course of a generation. To offset that, this is what the article is all about. He says, to offset the fact that we're losing so many and very few are getting converted, religious American women would need to have 2.44 children each on average for the church to retain something of the population that it does today. Mm. It's interesting, Voddie Baucham, you know Voddie Baucham.
Yep.
He had a talk a number of years ago. He said, evangelical Christianity losing 70-80% of their kids. And by the way, this article doesn't really refer to that. But they're losing 70-80% of their kids, not getting many converts. And he says their birth rate is, you know, at that point, like 2.0, now it's down around 1.8. He said, if we continue at this rate, by the year 2100, the 25 million evangelical Christians will be 250,000.
Uh-huh.
And I was there with my calculator. I thought, well, I have five children. So if my five children have five children, and by God's grace, they walk in God's truth, and then their five children have five children, and then their five children have five children, and by God's grace, and a commitment to discipling our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have five children, and their five children have another five children. Over eight generations, I've got 250,000 followers of Jesus Christ all by myself, one versus 25 million evangelicals.
That's what we call a heritage.
Yeah, it is.
And that's what we aim for.
Now, can we get a few others with something of a vision for it? Bill, you know, it's not just what we do, right? But it's a prayer. Mm-hmm. It's looking to God. It's asking for God's mercy.
Yeah.
It's a vision. It's a desire. Let's have kids. Let's see that they follow Jesus. I mean, is there anybody with a passion for that left in American churches? I'm sure there are, but
I'm sure.
Not enough. Can we let's, see not
let's,
enough?
Let's not get the Elijah complex.
Yeah, let's not
right?
get that.
Yeah.
But CT seems to be like there's not enough. That's right. What he's saying. He's saying there's not enough.
Right.
Now, friends, most of the pro-life ministries seem to be faking it and refusing to defend the lives of 95% of kids killed by the abortifacients. Now, I'm going to end with this. Our small little fellowship of churches passed a resolution that really attempts to provide a consistent pro-life position. And I don't know of any other denomination that's done this thus far. But I'm just going to say, we're going to do this. Forget what's happening in the Supreme Court of the United States. Forget what's happening in your state governments. Forget what's happening anywhere else. Bill, I appreciate the fact you're running for office. But Bill, if the churches don't do anything, you're not going to do any good. No. I mean, I hate to say that, but if the churches don't back this up
right. And
really get consistent and persistent with these things, it's just a waste of time. The whole pro-life thing's a waste of time.
I've been, what my prayer has been over this course of running is that God would send revival to this country, to our state, and a resurgence of righteousness and justice.
Yes.
And allow me to be part of that.
Yes. And I hope that happens before I die. Yeah. That's the other goal.
My goal is not, as an elected official, my goal is not to preach from the well mm-hmm. of the house. My goal is to establish principles that will result in laws that restrain evil.
Right.
Now, that's based mm-hmm. on my worldview.
Mm-hmm.
But my goal is not to proclaim the gospel from the well. That's the church's role. We need churches to step up and proclaim truth and grace, mm-hmm. revival,
yeah.
and let that flow throughout culture into the wells of legislators.
Mm-hmm.
Legislatures, so that legislators begin to proclaim truth and grace in law.
And all that humility and repentance has got to begin in the household of God. Otherwise, judgment is going to begin in the household of God.
Yep.
It's going to be repentance or judgment. And I recommend this resolution. If you want a copy of this resolution to send to your church and your denomination, just simply email me at host@generations.org. But this is the resolution we passed with our small fellowship of churches, and I would love to see another 30, 40 churches across America. Obviously, we got to have 30,000 churches that pass this resolution, but let's start somewhere. Here it is, resolution on abortifacients. Whereas the sixth commandment, the Lord our God forbids murder, Exodus 20:13, and whereas Exodus 21:22-25 reprobates even the negligent allowing for hazardous conditions in the presence of a pregnant woman, and levies a penalty against the perpetrators on the untimely death of the child. And whereas Scripture levies serious civil penalties on those who needlessly and recklessly risk the lives of others, resulting in death, Exodus 21:28-31. And whereas the confessional statement of our church enjoins all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the lives of others, and avoiding all occasions, temptations, and practices which tend to the unjust taking away the life of any, whereas the Stanford study mechanisms of action of intrauterine devices indicated that an average of 0.8 post-fertilization babies were lost per woman by use of the IUD per annum on 5 different IUDs tested, and 14% of American women, 15 to 44 years of age, used the IUD, resulting in the deaths of 12,330,000 babies per annum, an increase from 960,000 babies in 2000, and whereas other forms of conception control, such as the birth control pill, exhibit abortifacient qualities according to multiple studies and medical advisements. And whereas studies have found the Plan B pill acts as an abortifacient 80 to 92% of the time. And whereas 32% of sexually active evangelical women are in use of these high efficiency forms of conception control compared to the national average of 36%. And whereas according to the credible scientific studies, the majority of babies killed in this country each year are not killed by surgical abortions, but by the use of these chemical methods, and whereas the Christian church should, at the very least, be marked by the commitment to preserve human life, and whereas of all the prevalent cultural sins of the nation, this is among the most heinous and most grievous to God, especially as it is common among the churches that align themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Life, therefore be it resolved that this church encourages all persons, including professing Christians, to stop the killing of children in the womb by either abortion or the use of abortifacients, and be it further resolved that this church will issue a statement on its website indicating its opposition to the use of abortifacient conception control methods, in which there are published reputable scientific studies indicating abortifacient risk in the method, and be it further resolved that this church will encourage all other evangelical and Reformed denominations to join in making a consistent stand to preserve life in the womb, and be it further resolved that this church will encourage all its pastors to warn its members, married couples, and soon-to-be-married couples of the risk of abortifacient forms of conception control. All right, so that's the resolution passed by our small fellowship of churches. And if you take the stand to be a consistent pro-lifer in a state where 12 million children will be slaughtered in any given year in this country, and of course, hundreds of millions all around the world, and if you realize that we are subject to the judgment of Almighty God right now, especially as churches, then I would encourage you to pass this resolution on to the leaders in your particular churches and denominations. And you can get a copy of it by simply emailing me at host@generations.org. It's called the Conception Control Abortifacient Resolution. Just send me a note at host@generations.org, and I'll send a copy of this resolution off to you. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.